Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nyingar Trees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. A Question of Power, Electricity, and the Wealth of Nations by Robert Bryce is a nonfiction work of energy analysis, economic history, and public policy. Bryce, a longtime energy journalist, examines electricity not as a routine utility but as the central operating system of modern civilization. The book argues that reliable, affordable power is closely tied to wealth, health, education, industrial capacity, and political stability. Its purpose is to make readers see electrification as a material condition behind modern life rather than a background convenience. Bryce combines reporting from multiple locations with broad discussion of grids, fuels, energy density, capital investment, and technology choices. A major focus is the global divide between societies with abundant electricity and those still living with limited or unreliable access. The book also challenges claims that renewable energy alone can satisfy rising demand, while making a case for the continuing importance of dispatchable generation, including nuclear power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, electricity as the hidden foundation of modern wealth. Bryce presents electricity as a foundational platform for modern economies, rather than simply one sector among many. His central reasoning is that nearly every marker of prosperity depends on continuous power lighting, extends productive hours, motors multiply human labor. Refrigeration preserves food and medicine, and digital systems require stable current. This makes electricity different from many other commodities because it enables the functioning of other systems at once. Factories, hospitals, schools, banks, water treatment, communications networks, and transportation controls all rely on the same electrical backbone. The book links this dependence to national wealth by showing that high electricity consumption generally accompanies industrialization and higher living standards. Bryce does not treat this relationship as a simple moral slogan. He emphasizes the physical requirements behind it. Wealthy societies became wealthy partly because they built generation plants, transmission networks, distribution systems, and institutions capable of keeping power available on demand. The argument reframes economic development as an infrastructure problem without abundant electricity. Education, commerce, healthcare, and manufacturing remain constrained no matter how ambitious a country's development plans may be. Secondly, the divide between the electricity rich and the electricity poor. One of the book's most distinctive themes is the moral and economic importance of energy poverty. Bryce stresses that billions of people live with little or unreliable electricity, and he uses that contrast to challenge readers in wealthy countries who often take power for granted. The electricity poor are not merely missing appliances. They face limits on education, income, safety, health, and personal autonomy. Without dependable lighting, children have fewer hours to study. Without refrigeration, families and clinics struggle to store food, vaccines, and medicines. Without electric pumps and machines, labor remains more physically demanding and less productive. Bryce gives particular attention to women and girls, because lack of electricity often increases time spent on household labor and limits opportunities for schooling or paid work. The book's reasoning is that electrification can expand human agency by reducing drudgery and widening access to information, education, and services. This theme also complicates climate and development debates. Bryce argues that policies aimed at reducing emissions must be judged against the practical need to expand reliable electricity access for people who have not yet received the basic benefits of modern energy systems. Thirdly, why reliable electricity is difficult to produce and deliver. Bryce explains that electricity feels effortless to consumers precisely because an immense technical system hides its complexity. Power must generally be produced at the moment it is consumed, moved through transmission lines, stepped down through distribution networks, and delivered at stable voltage and frequency. This creates a reliability challenge unlike that of many stored fuels. The book emphasizes two core requirements: capital and fuel. Capital is needed for power plants, substations, wires, maintenance crews, meters, and control systems. Fuel, broadly defined, includes coal, natural gas, uranium, moving water, wind, and sunlight. Bryce's analysis centers on the fact that each source has different properties, especially in density, controllability, cost, and land requirements. He highlights energy density because dense fuels can produce large amounts of electricity from relatively small physical inputs and footprints, while diffuse sources require more collection infrastructure. Storage is another key constraint. Batteries can be useful for specific grid services, but Bryce argues that large-scale, long-duration storage remains difficult relative to the vast size of electricity demand. The result is a practical framework: electricity policy must account for physics, engineering, finance, and reliability together. Fourthly, a skeptical assessment of renewables-only energy plans. The book is especially known for its critique of the claim that wind and solar power can, by themselves, meet modern electricity needs at global scale. Bryce does not deny that renewable generation has grown or that it can contribute useful electricity. His criticism focuses on intermittency, land use, transmission needs, backup requirements, and the difficulty of matching variable output with constant demand. Wind and solar depend on weather and daylight, so grids with large shares of these sources need complementary systems that can respond when output falls. That usually means dispatchable generation, storage, demand management, or expanded transmission. Bryce argues that public debates often understate the cost and complexity of these supporting systems. He also connects renewable expansion to questions of material intensity and siting, since large projects require land, equipment, permitting, and grid connections. His broader point is not that renewables are irrelevant, but that electricity systems must be judged by reliability, affordability, and scale rather than by nameplate capacity alone. This leads him to support a diversified mix in which nuclear energy and hydrocarbons remain important, especially where fast-growing demand cannot be met reliably by weather-dependent resources alone. Lastly, power policy, political power, and the future demand surge. Bryce uses the double meaning of power to connect electricity with politics, sovereignty, and institutional competence. Governments shape power systems through subsidies, mandates, permitting rules, fuel policy, environmental regulation, market design, and decisions about nuclear plants, pipelines, and transmission lines. These choices affect prices and reliability, which in turn affect public trust and industrial competitiveness. The book warns that energy policy can become disconnected from engineering realities when political goals ignore the need for dispatchable capacity and resilient infrastructure. Bryce also points to rising demand for modern sectors such as data centers, digital networks, advanced manufacturing, electrified services, and other power-intensive industries. This matters because many climate strategies call for electrifying transportation, heating, and industry at the same time that billions of people seek first-time or improved access to electricity. The future grid, therefore, faces pressure from both development and decarbonization. Bryce argues that innovation is necessary, but he treats innovation as a material process involving generation technologies, nuclear development, grid modernization, fuel supply, and permitting reform. The implication is that energy transitions are not only technical substitutions, they are political and economic tests of whether societies can build at sufficient scale. In conclusion, A Question of Power is best suited for readers who want a grounded introduction to electricity's role in development, climate policy, and modern infrastructure. Policymakers, regulators, energy professionals, journalists, students of political economy, and general readers interested in the energy transition will find it useful because it connects technical constraints with human outcomes. Its practical benefit is that it encourages readers to evaluate energy proposals through reliability, affordability, density, infrastructure, and scale rather than through slogans. Its intellectual benefit is the way it links electrification to wealth creation, women's opportunity, healthcare, education, and geopolitical stability. Compared with many climate and energy books, it stands out for putting electricity access at the center of the discussion instead of treating decarbonization as the only measure of progress. Bryce's perspective is also distinctive because he combines field reporting with a clear preference for pragmatic energy abundance, including a larger role for nuclear power and continued attention to dispatchable fuels. Readers who strongly favor rapid renewables-only strategies may disagree with parts of the argument, but the book remains valuable because it forces attention to physical scale, grid reliability, and the needs of the electricity poor. Its strength lies in making electricity visible as a precondition for modern life. If you would like to support Robert Bryce, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.